We've already mentioned that duty rates are contained in a book called The Tariff. The Tariff sets out full duty rates and preferential duty rates. In this lecture, you will learn about how and when preferences can be claimed. Let's take the following scenario. Goods are imported into the UK from Japan. The classification code of the goods has been determined and the rate shown in the tariff is 12%. This is the full rate of duty that applies. The second but last column of the tariff shows whether a reduced duty rate can be claimed for goods falling in this classification code. The preferential rate depends on where the goods originate. For instance, if the goods originate in Pakistan, they may receive a 9.6% duty rate. And if the goods originate in Bangladesh, they may receive a 0% rate. The reason that preferential rates are given is generally to help countries with undeveloped economies grow by enabling them to export their products cheaper than the more developed countries. Other preferences might be given because certain countries have reciprocal trading arrangements with the EU. For instance, imports from EFTA countries, which include Norway, Iceland, Switzerland and Liechtenstein, may be imported into the EU free of duties. As the arrangements are reciprocal, EU products can be imported into the EFTA countries free of duties. A bit of a you scratch my back and I'll scratch yours type of arrangement. A new pan-Euro-Mediterranean zone for preference purposes is currently being implemented. Once all the necessary legislation is in place, it will allow products to move between the EU and a number of other European, African and Asian countries under preference. The largest preference regime is currently the Generalized System of Preferences, or GSP for short. Let's have a look at the GSP scheme. It is an EU-wide scheme that applies to imports of certain products from certain developing countries which are known as beneficiary countries. Not all types of goods from beneficiary countries get preferential rates. If the country is developed in some industries, then a preference may not be available for those particular goods. In order to obtain a preferential rate of duty, the goods must 1. Originate in the beneficiary country, 2. Travel direct from that country to the EU, and 3. Must be accompanied by the required certificate of origin. We will now take each of these conditions in turn. The first condition we mentioned was that the goods have to originate in the beneficiary country. So what constitutes originating? Well, if you turn to Article 67 of the Implementing Regulations, this provides us with a definition. The products must either be wholly obtained in the beneficiary country or sufficiently worked or processed there. The idea behind this rule is that you cannot produce goods in Japan, for instance, and then import them into Bangladesh, do nothing to the goods whilst they're in Bangladesh, and then ship them onwards to the EU and try and claim a preferential rate of duty on the basis that they originate in Bangladesh. Using the rules that we are going to look at in a minute, the goods would be deemed for preference purposes to originate in Japan. As Japan is a developed country, the full duty rate would be payable when the goods are imported into the EU. So what is classed as wholly obtained? And to pick out a couple, subsection 1, paragraph C, covers live animals born and raised in the country, and subsection 1, paragraph E, includes products obtained by hunting or fishing conducted in the country. So, putting it simplistically, anything coming from the land, sea, or air of that country is classed as wholly obtained. Do spend a bit of time looking through Article 68. But what if our products are not wholly obtained? We need to see if they have been sufficiently worked or processed. Sufficient working or processing is contained in Article 69, and this article refers us to Annex 15 of the Implementing Regulations. Annex 15 is rather large, and that is why it is not reproduced in the Tolly's Customs Duties Handbook. The origin rules are, however, reproduced in public notices, and they depend on the commodity code of the imported product. To give an example of what amounts to sufficient working or processing, we'll take a teddy bear. Your supplier is based in a GSP beneficiary country. He is a manufacturer of teddy bears. The main stuffing, outer fur and clothing of the teddy bear all originate in that country, and the teddy bear is manufactured there. But the eyes and nose of the teddy bear are imported from Japan. Our teddy bear is made up of components that originate and components that do not. So where is the origin of the bear? Teddy bears are classified in Chapter 95, which covers toys, games and sports requisites, parts and accessories thereof. The origin rule for the relevant classification code says, manufacture in which all the non-originating materials used are classified in a heading other than that of the product, and the value of all the non-originating materials used does not exceed 50% of the ex works price of the product. The teddy bear's eyes and nose are classified in a different heading to the teddy bear itself, and hopefully don't exceed 50% of the value of the teddy bear when sold. This is what ex works price means, the value as it leaves the factory gate. So, it is likely that the origin of the teddy bear is the GSP beneficiary country. However, even if the above origin rule means that the teddy bear appears to originate in a preference receiving country, there is a further condition that must be satisfied. Where the operations that have been carried out on the teddy bear are simple, this will not amount to sufficient working or processing. Article 70 of the implementing regulations gives a list of processes that would not amount to sufficient working. The list is very long. It goes through from A to P. Just to take a couple, paragraph C, washing and cleaning, D, ironing or pressing of textiles, and K, simple placing in bottles, all amount to simple processes which would not constitute sufficient working or processing. The manufacture of our teddy bear should amount to more than a simple operation, therefore its origin should be in the beneficiary country. The EU Commission is currently considering proposals to simplify all rules of origin and make other reforms to preference regimes. We'll now look at another aspect of GSP, regional groups. Some countries form regional groups, and products that originate in one country, which are subject to working or processing carried out in another country of the same group, will count as originating in the other country. For example, material originating in Pakistan, which is exported to Bangladesh to be sewn into t-shirts, would count as originating in Bangladesh. This is because these two countries are both members of the same group. You can see the regional groups listed in Article 72, subsection 3 of the implementing regulations. Now, for the purposes of some preferences, Pakistan may not get such a good rate as Bangladesh, as it is more developed in certain industries. So which is the final country of origin, Pakistan or Bangladesh? Article 72A solves the problem. It says that the country of origin is where the last working or processing was carried out, provided that the value added there is higher than the value of the product originating in the other countries of the group. Therefore, provided that the value that the processing in Bangladesh has added to the product is greater than the value of the material from Pakistan, the t-shirt will originate in Bangladesh. One final proviso is that the processing carried out in Bangladesh cannot be simple. Remember, we have already looked at the definition of simple back in Article 70. As well as regional grouping, if products that originate in the EU are sent to Bangladesh to be sufficiently worked or processed, they also count as originating there for the purposes of preference. You will find this in Article 67. The second and third conditions we mentioned earlier were that the goods must be transported directly to the EU from the beneficiary country, and the required certificate of origin needed to be presented with the goods. The direct transport rule is contained in Article 81, subsection 1, of the implementing regulations. This is to stop manipulation of the rules. For example, goods that originate in Bangladesh are exported to Japan, processed, and then shipped onwards to the EU. Japan does not qualify for preference under GSP, so if the goods originate there, the full rate of duty will be payable. So, can we argue that the goods originate in Bangladesh to try and claim a preferential rate of duty? Firstly, we would need to check the origin rules to see if the goods were sufficiently worked or processed enough to count as originating in Bangladesh. Secondly, we would need to check whether we satisfy the direct transport rule. Article 78 of the implementing regulations deals with this rule. It says that goods can only pass through the territory of another country provided that they have remained under the surveillance of the customs authorities and have undergone no processing during their stay there. So, if these goods have been subject to processing in Japan, they do not satisfy the direct transport rule, and we would not be able to claim a preferential rate of duty. The final condition we need to satisfy is that a valid certificate of origin must be submitted with the import entry. For GSP preferences, this is a Form A, which is stamped by the exporting authorities. See Annex 17 for an example. In place of a Form A, a declaration could be made on the invoice accompanying the goods, provided that certain conditions are satisfied. These conditions are detailed in Article 89, and cover exporters that have been approved to make invoice declarations or shipments up to a maximum value of 6,000 euros. For most other preference agreements, a form EUR1, as shown in Annex 21, is used. Or again, approved exporters may be able to complete an invoice declaration in place of this form. GSP Forms A are valid for 10 months from the date of issue. You will see this in Article 90, brackets B, and EUR1 certificates are generally valid for 4 or 5 months. The final part of this lecture looks at the specific problems that some importers have had when claiming preference. Imagine that you have been importing your products from a preference-receiving country that receives a 0% rate of duty. Had you not claimed preference, the full rate of duty was 12%. Customs then carry out an audit of your records and realize that you should not have claimed preference on those goods as the origin rules have not been met. However, you have got stamped certificates of origin for the goods as the overseas authorities believed the rules were met. Customs have the right to go back over a 3-year period to retrospectively recover duty from an importer. They can do this in accordance with Article 221, subsection 3 of the Code. Now, you as the importer are being faced with paying hundreds of thousands of pounds of back duty to customs. Is there any defence that you can raise so that you don't have to pay this amount? This has been the subject of a number of court decisions, and as a result, new legislation was enacted into the Code. This takes the form of Article 220(2)(b). If you read this article, it says that if there has been an error on the part of the customs authorities that could not reasonably have been detected by the importer, and the importer has acted in good faith, complied with all provisions in the legislation, and has taken due care in importing the goods under the preferential regime, then customs will not retrospectively recover the duty. In our scenario, an error has occurred by the exporting authorities as they have incorrectly stamped the certificates of origin. So, what does an importer have to do to fall within the category in Article 220 and not be faced with some large retrospective duty reclaims? If the importer has understood the origin rules, has actually visited the exporter's premises to see the factories working and the goods being produced, and has written confirmation from his supplier that the rules have been met, then it would be hard for the authorities to say that he has not taken due care and that the error could not have been reasonably detected. What more could this importer have done? You will see that we refer to this article again in the lecture on administration and appeals. There are other ways that an importer can protect himself against back duty claims. One of these is to apply for a binding origin information ruling, or BOI for short. These are covered in Article 12 of the Code. These rulings are obtained from customs and provide the importer with certainty as to the origin of his imported goods. Once granted, they are valid for 3 years in all EU member states. This should stop customs retrospectively going back and recovering duty, provided, of course, that the importer gave customs correct information on which the BOI was based in the first place. Another advantage of a BOI is that if it becomes invalid due to a change in legislation, then usually the importer can continue using it for 3 to 6 months going forwards, provided he has got binding contracts concluded with his supplier, i.e. he has based the price of the goods from his supplier on the basis that he would receive a preferential duty rate. Another way that an importer might protect himself against large back duty claims is by taking out insurance. He could also get a clause included in the contracts with his suppliers, providing that the supplier will indemnify him if the origin rules are not met. and the final foolproof way of ensuring that he will not be subject to any back duty claims is not to claim the preferential rate at all and pay the full rate. However, this is going to increase his costs, which he will then have to pass on to the end customer. So, paying the full rate may not be an option for him. If he is in any doubt, he could pay the full rate, and once satisfied that the goods do qualify for preference, he could lodge a repayment claim with customs. You'll see more on this in the lecture on administration and appeals. To see what you've learned so far, let's do some examples. On the screen you have some sentences with missing words. You need to fill in the blanks with the missing words. Once you are happy with your answers, hit the enter key and see how you did. To obtain preference, goods must originate in the beneficiary country, be transported direct from the beneficiary country, and be accompanied by the requisite certificate of origin. Simple processes are contained in Article 70 of the Implementing Regulations. Some countries form regional groups, whereby goods originating in one country of the group, which are subjected to working or processing in another country of the group, count as originating in the other country. Again, just like before, you need to fill in the blanks that you see on the screen before you with the missing words. Hit the enter key once you are happy. So, how did you do? An importer can protect himself from back duty claims by 1. Applying for a binding origin information ruling, which is legally binding for 3 years. 2. By taking out insurance. 3. By including a clause in the contract with his supplier to get reimbursed if the goods don't originate in that country. And 4. By making sure that he understands the origin rules.